Welcome to Remember When, where we talk about the people, stories, and events that have brought us to where we are today. I'm Glenn Parfitt, sitting in for Susan Woods this week, and this show is sponsored by the Maritime Museum of British Columbia in Victoria. Today, we're going to talk about music in the 1960s with our guests, two members of the 60s band The Motifs, Don Crocker and Tony McBride. Welcome, Don. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, Glenn.
We're going to be focusing on, because it's the centennial celebration of the 100th year that Oak Bay became a municipality, we're going to have our focus today on some of the popular music and contemporary music and sort of the scene that was going on in the 1960s as part of our little history lesson and contribution to the 100th anniversary celebration. Now, the two of you grew up here in Victoria, and how many members of the band, actually, Don, I'll ask you, how many members of the band went to Oak Bay itself?
Well, that's a darn good question. I don't remember if we all went to Oak Bay. I went there very briefly, and then they found out I was on the wrong side of the border and sent me promptly back to Victoria High School. But I pretty much grew up with all the people in Oak Bay. Most of the friends were based in Oak Bay. Tony, however, on the other hand, I'll hand it over to him. He can tell you where he grew up, and it certainly wasn't Oak Bay.
A place called Liverpool, England. I came over here in July of 64. And so that's when I arrived. My sisters both went to Oak Bay. After they arrived, I went out and found a job.
Got busy right away. So music in your lives personally. Now, was this, Don, when you were growing up in school, did you play music? Was this something you picked up? What part of your life did you pick this up? And where did your initial interest in it come from?
Well, it wasn't actually in any school bands as such. It was. It just looked like a good thing to do when you were a teenager and picked up the drums at that time and played with a friend sort of on our own. We would pretend we're actually in bands and so on, and put a big sign on the drum kit, which apparently fooled the Motifs, because when I joined them, I had that sign on the kit and they thought I was already well established.
Good stuff. Now, I'll go it over to Tony here. Tony, you've come in from a completely different country. You walked into Victoria. What is your sort of your impression of the scenes, and where did you sort of link up with Don at that point?
Well, I grew up in Liverpool, as I said, and I picked up the guitar in Liverpool because a few other people were doing the same thing. Came here in July of 64, and I think in February of 64, shortly beforehand, there was this other group from Liverpool that arrived here. So when I came, I had all of these English records. I remember the House of the Rising Sun and all these 45s I brought with me. And like Don said, it was my cousin Tony, Tony Gerard, that brought me in, and he had lined up a drummer. Don and I were trying to remember this the other day. He brought me over to his place. He had Don and he had Mike. Like Don said, he had a drum kit with the Surges on the front, and I thought he must be something special. He was part of a big band. But I remember we had this melding of this sort of Beatles and English music that was going on, and then there was the surf music, the Ventures, and you guys all knew this instrumental stuff. And we started playing, like, what do you know, what do I know, and a little bit of sharing of, is there anything we both know that we could all play together, started in
Apparently
Tony's basement.
Not. Yeah.
Now, you had other members join the band, Lee Oliphant and John MacArthur. When did they sort of come into the picture?
Well, John was a little later in the scene. It was originally Tony was the rhythm guitarist, and Tony had, I believe, had gone back to England following a young lady at the time, and at that point we brought John in as a guitarist.
Okay, and then did you come back later on and rejoin the band, or what happened?
Oh, yeah, I did, and if I can just go back, he asked about Lee. My recollection of Lee is, and you guys can correct me, but we couldn't find a bass player. We had lots of people, different people play bass, but we couldn't find a steady bass player. And I think Don went to Hall in Fairfield and asked, has anybody bought a bass recently? And they gave us Lee's name, and we went around to his house, I think, and said...
I think so. Much to the horror of his mother.
Oh, great job. So
you're our bass player, kid.
That's a great recruiting story. That's unbelievable. Now, you got together as a band, you rehearsed, and then you went out to sort of start doing gigs. Just give me an idea, like, what those first gigs were like. So that would have been about 1964, I guess it is when you first started actually playing together as a group. What was, where was there to play at that time? And I think at one point you actually played Oak Bay High School. So tell us a bit about both of those.
Well, I think originally we seemed to end up in, I remember, St. Joseph's Hall and a few of those types of dances. I think it was the CYO at the time was putting on a few dances. And I don't remember a whole lot about that time. We're talking about the 60s here, Glenn.
Well, aren't you glad I wrote it all down? So, and I'm looking at different places that you played, just following tickets and posters and things that have been brought to the collection through all this. For those who aren't familiar with the work that's cataloged all this, it's called the Royal City Music Project. I'll stop for a second, quickly give you the website. It's RCMPsite, all one word, .com, and it's RCMP for Royal City Music Project. So if you get a chance, log on. There's some great history on there. There's streaming audio, streaming video, band lists, pictures, posters, tickets. Just a really getting to be very comprehensive capturing of music and pop culture in Victoria from the 50s straight through to 1985. Now, on there, we also see... the Crystal Gardens now, they're getting a big refurbish as well, too. But as always, traditionally, the motifs, from what I've seen over the years, you've always been a groundbreaking band. So as I put together these band reunions and stuff, it seems like one of the first guys to step up and do the same thing is, in fact, the two of you. And they were closing down the Crystal Gardens to start this great renovation, and you were there playing that last weekend. What was that like being back in there doing that?
Well, I just want to give you a plug for the site itself, just to go back on that. And that had a great part in my mind in getting us back together in 2004. And for that, I appreciate it. I thank you. That's brought a lot of fun back into my life, good memories. And, I got the phone call in the early part of 2004 from John MacArthur that said this Crystal Garden thing might happen. Was I interested? Of course, I always am. And cut a long story short, the six of us got together and I think we pulled it off. As far as I'm concerned, we had a good time, and that was really what it was all about anyway.
Well, the problem was everybody said yes, thinking somebody else would say no.
Well, that's and for those who want to see a bit of that, you can certainly go to the site, and if you go under the streaming video section, you can see one of the songs that they did that night. And was there personally, and I thought it was just brilliant, because not only did it bring the band themselves back together, but as you looked across the sea of people, certainly a lot older than we were in those days, but it would seem like a lot of the same faces and a lot of the old people came to get back together and to sort of capture some of this whole thing themselves, to be at a dance at the Crystal Gardens again, to see a band that played before them at the Crystal Gardens now exactly was 40 years later.
Yep.
To the year that you guys started and you came back and did that.
And we closed another venue down, is that...
Well, I mean, you know, every time you show up... But certainly it created a lot of memories for myself and anybody else that was there that night. So we thank you all for that. But is there ever a chance that you might do something like that again or entertain it? Or is that now that you've captured it and done it, you're just going to hold it in your holster and leave it there?
My answer would be the same again. If the thing happened again, I'd be in there like a flash. One of these days, we'll get it right.
That was Farewell Tour number one.
Okay, Farewell Tour number one. We've seen other bands do that before as well, too. So,
mentioned one of my bandmates, and I won't mention by name on this, and it wasn't Don, but one of the guys was a little reluctant going in.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not sure I want to do it, Tony. I'd want it to be perfect. And I said, well, I did too, but it never was.
Well, then it was authentic. Yeah. If it wasn't perfect, it was authentic, certainly. But just a great opportunity to get everybody back together and to enjoy part of that. So I also wanted to talk briefly, being as it's Oak Bay. Now, you would have not played, I believe, at the Club Tango above the Oak Bay Theater, or did you?
We certainly did.
Well, here we go. So give us a quick story about what was it like playing in there, because that was the first location of the Club Tango was above the Oak Bay Theater on Oak Bay Avenue.
A specific example is, this sticks with me, Top Cappy is the name of a movie, and I looked this up recently on the internet, and it's a movie that was about I've never seen it, one of these days I should watch it, but it was about a jewel heist. And if you read it on the internet, it says it makes effective use of silence to build the suspense. And But that's all very well, but you've got a band playing Sweet Little 16 right next door. The movie theater actually asked us whether we take a break between 9:27 and 9:44 every evening, I think, so the people in the theater could hear the movie.
Well, we're going to get that story and a few other ones coming up. One of the places you also played was on Club 6. We're going to go to break, but we've got a little ditty from Rob McCrimmon, who stuck a microphone into his parents' television set when you guys played on Club 6. This is the Motifs playing Lucille.